18 minutes past 8. Samsung's Galaxy Fold was set to become the first phone with a foldable OLED display last Friday in the US, but the release was delayed indefinitely after the company acknowledged issues reported in early reviews. So problems included these review units failing after users removed a protective layer. We'll get more into that in a second. Also, debris getting inside the display, the Fold itself just not quite being what people expected, and malfunctioning in several cases. Let's hear more from someone who actually had a chance to use the product. On the line, we've got Michael Fisher, a mobile tech reviewer who runs the YouTube channel Mr. Mobile. Thank you for joining us.
Alex, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
So the idea of a foldable phone, for you, what is the big promise of that? Why should we be even excited about foldable phones?
One of my favorite things about foldable phones is that they kind of sell themselves once you use them. I have a very clear memory of walking from the bus stop to a coffee shop while checking my Twitter feed on the Galaxy Fold one-handed on that small 4.5-inch OLED display, then sitting down with my coffee and unfolding the phone so I could click into a story I saw on Twitter and then read that on that huge internal 7-inch display. You know, nothing else can do that. I would have had to carry two devices to do that, or you know, the same goes for shooting photos. You've got this convenient one-handed quick snap camera, or this giant tablet with a huge screen for the viewfinder. Wherever you call it, whether it's a folding phone or a pocketable tablet, you know, it's a product that reshapes itself to try to be the best version of all the things a smartphone can be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sold on that description. I mentioned recently on the show, I think one of the best demonstrations of this is in the TV show Westworld, where they're constantly bringing out these foldable, unfoldable tablet-type devices. And it, of course, it works seamlessly there. But is it natural in real life that we're going to have teething issues?
Right. Actually, I love the Westworld example because in some ways, the foldables we're seeing even in this first generation are better because the Westworld props have these visible seams in them even when they're open. And, you know, the best version of foldable phones, they don't. They just, you know, you open the display and there it is. It's a big tablet.
Well, but the teething issues that I talked about, should we as consumers accept that the very first review units are going to be imperfect? Or after years in the making, should Samsung have ensured that they did a bit of a better job with their own reviews internally before releasing them to the likes of yourself?
Oh, man. You know, that is absolutely the question, right? I think that is the number one thing that surprised most of us, was that Samsung did not catch this, or, you know, possibly caught it and was forced by, I don't know, a desire to be first, a desire to beat the competition. I don't know. It seems very clear that it's fortunate that this was caught by media and press such as myself before people started paying $2,000 for this phone, or almost $2,000 for it, because this could have been significantly more embarrassing than it already is for Samsung.
Right. So it's not necessarily too late to get a PR win out of this, even though it's been a big blow so far. That is to say, they've got a lot more people talking and thinking about foldable phones than they would have done otherwise, perhaps. And if they can get the next release right, then they've got all that awareness and maybe a top product.
That could well be. You know, I mean, I think we have an example from recent history a couple of years ago with the Galaxy Note 7 fiasco, that consumers, you know, are willing to forgive big brands for major missteps. And even before that, you know, going outside of the Samsung example, you know, you have Boeing currently mired in its 737 Max, you know, fiasco. People rather quickly forgot a number of years ago when all those 777s were having problems with lithium batteries exploding on board, you know. Mm. I think the memory of in consumers is not terribly long-lasting.
Right.
I mean, Samsung can push out a better product eventually, then it'll be a win.
I mean, I think the Note 7 example is a very good one, because that was a potential threat to people, or at least to their homes or anywhere else that it might have caught on fire. And if they could forgive them for that, then I guess they're going to be less worried about a glitch on a phone. Let me just clarify, what was your own experience? So you said you actually had a very positive experience on that occasion in the coffee shop. Generally, did you have any problems with it?
Yeah, so you outlined the two major defects with it. I'll just briefly discuss what mine was. I was not one of the ones who reviewed the top layer thinking of the display, thinking it was a screen protector, although that's a very easy mistake to make. My unit was actually worked very well right up until the last day. It was literally the 10th day or the 9th or 10th day of my 10-day review period, my loan period for that device, and I was filming it. And apparently out of nowhere, the display just grew this little pimple. It was this small deformation about an inch up from the bottom where the crease of the display is, right in the center line. And other folks, I think Dieter Bohm at The Verge and at least one or two other reviewers have noted similar deformities, at least one of which later became a full-blown display failure. So whether it's foreign material entering the phone through some of the gaps in the hinge or a component inside the phone breaking off and becoming lodged behind the display, we don't know. But that was, of course, a very disheartening development, though not necessarily a surprise. So this is something that it doesn't seem like it would be a quick fix from my perspective.
Right. So do you feel, in a way, like you've had a taste of a wonderful future innovation that you now frustratingly have to wait potentially months to enjoy again?
Oh, no question about it. And I'm in a much better position because I'm going to try every single foldable phone there is, right? That's my job. But if I were sold on Samsung's play, because all the foldables are going to be different, you know, the Huawei competition has a totally different implementation that will not be as attractive to some folks because it's conceivably more fragile. So if I'm sold on Samsung's approach, which I am personally, you have this folding configuration that protects this inner display when it's closed, and I have to wait now, I don't know how long until they fix it. Yeah, I'm as a fan of this stuff, as a nerd, I'm very impatient to have it fixed and to have it back in my hands because it really was unlike any other phone I'd used.
Well, like I said, months. They're going to be racing around the clock. It's already been years in development. Can we expect that it's going to be within a year? Do you have any indication at all on the timeline for this release?
Sadly, no. I don't have any. The only clue that we got was AT&T, our carrier here in the States, one of the launch partners with Samsung, was giving somebody a mid-June estimated delivery date that was reported by David Kogan at the Unlocker. And we all got excited. Like, oh, well, if AT&T is telling its customers that must be true. And then about a day later, they said, well, then we're going to take that date off the website.
Yeah.
If it is a major engineering rework that needs to happen, I hate to speculate, I really do, but I couldn't see this happening before summer.
Right. Well, it's a shame, but again, it's going to build up the anticipation. I'd like to just finish by your thoughts on the mobile industry generally, Samsung's place in it. Another thing that seems to work in their favor is that people are either going for the Chinese options or they're placing their faith in the premium Samsung models. Where is Apple in all of this?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because here in the States, we have about a 50-50 split in terms of market share between iOS and Android. But Apple, I think, in terms of the folding space, will do what it always does. It'll sit back and wait. It'll let a lot of other companies make mistakes through no fault of their own, just through it's part of the hazard of developing stuff. And then Apple eventually will, in a couple generations, come in and say, okay, now here's our take on it. We've learned from everyone else. It is probably superior in a lot of ways, and it's probably a fair bit more expensive than those models will eventually.
But in the past, it seemed to be like everyone else copying Apple.
I'm not sure. I mean, it depends, right? It depends on which features you're talking about. From my perspective, Apple tends to sit there and say, like, okay, well, that seems like a cool feature, Samsung or Huawei, whatever. And then they kind of let them shake out the bugs.
Okay.
And they're like, okay, well, here it is. You know, like a big phone. A good example is the first Galaxy Note. It was a huge phone. Everyone made fun of it. And Apple waited 4 or 5 years to release a bigger iPhone.
Right. I guess that those were the kinds of turning points. Maybe I'm thinking more of the overall appearance of smartphones and the earlier stages of innovation.
Sure.
But Apple is going to have to respond somehow, otherwise it might start to lose some of the status it's enjoyed. Michael Fisher, that's my two cents worth. It's been much more valuable having yours. Thank you very much for joining us.
Alex, thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.